is on the way. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way.
Hello, this is Doremus Jones, pastor of Breaking the Walls Ministry, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
Well, amen. And amen again. Hello, Nashville. All of the most wonderful and lovely, gracious people. I love you. I'd say that regardless. You know, I'm just saying, I would say it. Not because I'm on the radio. But because it's true, right, y'all?
Right.
Well, we hope that you have a most glorious day today. And, you know, I see a lot more traffic out. And in this more traffic, it's getting almost back, don't you think?
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Well, I was out for a while yesterday, and I'm like, now I see it back to back again. Longer lines everywhere, and, you know, things of that nature, and people going like they're never going to, you know, they can't get to where they're going fast enough and run you off the road. You know, that those folk are back. The ones who... for some reason, are in such a crazy hurry, you know. I don't know. What do you think they're going to store?
Or I guess sales.
Shopping?
Yeah,
or
shopping sales.
Yeah, but like that?
Apparently.
Run you off the road to get to the corner? It's like, oh, okay. Maybe they. Some people forgot how to drive during the pandemic. And... you know, didn't drive much, so they just got in the car like a kid.
Yeah, apparently.
I'm just seeing so much of that, you know. But you don't see an increase.
In certain areas, just a little bit.
I see it everywhere.
Shopping, yeah.
Everywhere. You know, I was on two different sections of this area yesterday, and I'm like, well, y'all got the all clear. Either that or they have learned how to maneuver during the months of doing what we were supposed to do. And some people never did what they were supposed to do. So I don't know. Anyway, so you had a good weekend?
I did. And yourself?
It just breezed by so quick that it was almost like not having one, you know, because you just blink and then it's time for back to work, you know. Doesn't it seem like you just blink and...
Yeah, like, bam.
And whoop, there it is and everything. But it is what it is. Glad to be... in the house and see what's up today. We got a few things. I know you watched the convention.
I did.
And I did too. And stayed watching it every night because I needed some, you know, I need a break from the insanity of the Trump administration. So I said, well, I would like to see some regular Americans and no one from the Trump team all week, please. Just give us regular people who do regular stuff. And they delivered on that, so.
They absolutely did.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's such a diversity in this country, but you would know it, but you'd never know it. And you know, just seeing just different people, different things, different parts of the United States, and, you know, people not with tiki torches or nothing mm-hmm. like that, but just regular citizens who, you know, have families and are going through things and not trying to act like they don't exist. I thought on the last night, the cutest little thing was the little boy at the beginning.
Stuttering?
No, the one at the beginning that did, the little black boy that did the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, yeah.
Had
yeah.
on his good that was, Sunday yeah, suit.
He was ready.
Yeah, I got to that point, I start there and not at the one everybody else is discussing.
That was
But he was well rehearsed and well practiced. Mama and Granny and Daddy and all, they had him worked out, I could tell. He was ready. And that was just the cutest thing. It truly was. But the children, and of course the young man who captivated everyone, but I did not want to leave the young brother out who did the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning because I hadn't heard any mentions of him. And I'm like, little man did his thing now. Wait a minute. Because everybody was just captivated by the young man that stuttered. And I was glad to see the children active and involved in things. And glad, you know, they seem very on point on a lot of their mm-hmm. thoughts and ideas and discussions. And in the little brief windows of time they had, I just people long for stuff like that. And of course, you know, all of our hearts go out to the families of the ones lost in the coronavirus, the pandemic, and we should think about them always. And, you know, we think about them and be grateful that it's not you or yours. And just keep them lifted up because, you know, families, there's an awful lot of families in this country and across the world that have experienced that loss, you know, of a loved one and everything. So, and at this time, you know, trying to make heads or tails of things, you know, it's really rough on a lot of people. So, but hearing from those loved ones as well,
yeah,
I thought that was very, mm-hmm. you know, to yeah. me, that's worth more than what's his platform.
Mm-hmm.
I want, you know, to me, that's where I am because, you know, instead of, you know, I saw, was this Thursday or Friday? Might have been Friday. Thursday was the last day, right?
Yeah.
I think it was an interview, and, you know, I respect Nina Turner, and I know she's does what she's there to do. But I was like, sis, she said, and that she's a burner, and she was asked a question and about what she thought, and her answer was, you know, I didn't expect her to say, oh, but I did not expect her to say, I didn't hear something such and such about a platform. I mean, American people are going through so much right now. A platform is just, you know, we can hear that in a couple of months. We ain't got to hear the platform. Because the platform is coming, you know. I just felt like sister. Because she's been on here before. And when she was in the Senate in Ohio. And but that's her job to be, you know, the to carry the Bernie flag. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. her role. Because he's, you know, he picked her to do that. But I just don't know if this minute is the time, you know. I'm thinking that the American people are fatigued with this Trump administration. We need to exhale, Lord, because that'll wear your nerves out. Have you acting a fool? Did you see her comments?
I didn't see those comments. I didn't.
Okay. Mm-mm. I was just like, now don't come out, burners. Now, that was my concern when I saw it. That the Bernie burners are still mad and haven't, you know, let go and let God, and are going to carry this thing, just blowtorch forever. And I don't want that to be the direction that the election or the campaign takes, because I have a feeling it could easily do that.
Yeah, they carry the personality, in my opinion, of Bernie Sanders, many of them, because although he digressed and supported Joe Biden, it was not a, it was sort of a, what's the word I'm looking for here? Well, I ain't got no choice. So I got to go ahead I guess I'll go ahead and support them. I mean, even though they're friends, and that's how sort of how Bernie is. Sort of, I don't want to use the word. It's just sort of. I just cannot find the eloquent word for it. But his supporters are sort of the same way. They won't.
They
say,
have
okay,
the burn, okay? Just, yeah. It's just the burn.
It's like, okay, our candidate didn't get nominated, so let's take this energy and put it forth in some policies and get behind Joe Biden, because that's who was nominated. But, I mean, they, you know.
But I see where the crack is going to start, mm-hmm. and
they want power.
Well, mm-hmm. well, I mean, they want, but it's not enough of them to win it. But I see where the crack will start now, and when the opposition mm-hmm. on if the other
gets,
side,
if he gets elected,
his people will begin to mm-hmm. churn that, and that's how our stuff gets skewed, because they're watching too, and they're listening as well, and people that. Trump is hired for his campaign, and they're paying very close attention to mm-hmm. The chinks in the armor mm-hmm. on everything. So, yeah. I just see that one.
Yeah,
you know. So
if I'm Nikki Haley, I'm looking at the Bernie supporters and saying, 2024.
Well, you know, she's probably might be thinking about pitching.
That's what I'm saying.
A concept. 2024. Not 2024, but right now.
Well,
Bernie is not going to run for office.
She can't
in
do it. That's I said Nikki Haley. That's what I'm saying. She's
no,
she's
I'm
looking
saying
at
Bernie's
that.
Bernie's not.
I know he's not. But if you're trying to look toward the future past Trump, and we all know that she has ambition. I don't care what she says. She's
that ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
It does.
How?
Because you want, because just like you said, that's that crack in sort of the Democratic base. And if they're unhappy, if Joe Biden wins the presidency, and those Bernie supporters are not able to get what they want, then you know that Bernie's not going to run in 2024. And if you are a Republican, you want to peel off part of your of the Democratic Party, and that's one area where you can have a lot of success.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that as the Trump campaign people are working on feverishly mm-hmm. on building his campaign, and where they're going to use talking points, and they're going to use, I'm talking about now, mm-hmm. not 2024 mm-hmm. and Nikki Haley. And
that's what you're saying.
I'm not. That's oh. I'm talking about from the playbook of what they're creating now.
Oh.
They're looking for divisions right now, and the far lefty this and lefty that and blah, blah, blah. That's where their mind is today because they're living in today because in, 70 days we're going to the polls? You know,
I see that to a degree, but not as much. Because
really?
Yeah. Because that's what Nina
so
Taylor
you,
was doing.
You actually think
mm-hmm.
that it's victory for them on November the and
for who?
For Trump.
No. What I'm saying.
So you don't think they have been working on a plan of where they can bust into the room or get
I don't think it'll be from that degree. I think that the Trump campaign has so many fires to put out and there's so many divisions and he doesn't have a cohesive message and that this is going to be more of a show next week.
They don't have a cohesive message, but it was enough to help him be torture us for 4 years, and he still.
But there were
has,
a lot of there
are
a lot
still
of,
supporters of that man. Okay,
small supporters. He pulled that off, as they say, as a perfect storm. This is much more difficult. He had the help from Russia. You had you had James Comey. You had the James Comey effect of coming out and saying that she's under investigation, Hillary Clinton. And then you have certain areas where they said she didn't campaign when she should have. You have so many different areas that she just really that hit her in so many ways that is much different now with Trump having been in office,
but
the
also
coronavirus.
During that time, it was the same wedge. It was the same crack in the wall that I'm talking about now. It was the same, the burners that were mad, didn't vote for her,
That's true. That's true, but there were so many other. I didn't think that she picked the right running mate. I just thought that was she shouldn't have did that. But now we've got Kamala Harris. You've got black women activated and motivated. You've got women activated and motivated. And people were saying, well, the vice president's, no one's really picking a vice president. But
it's
going to
take more kryptonite than that. Okay, because
it might.
Yeah, I'm saying it's going to take a lot more because of some of the things that you know, Russia and whatever. Because we don't know who else is in his bag of tricks on corruption.
True.
And I mean, because there's more hijinks to come.
But
so
this is going to be really hard. He's in office now. It's much harder for him now because he's in office. And so when people get ready to go vote, with the exception of his diehard base that don't care what happens to him, what he does, there are a lot of people who voted for a lot of Republicans who voted for him because they're Republican. But then you had a lot of people who voted for President Obama who decided they want to change. And like I said, you had the James Comey effect coming out and saying, even I, who was going to cast my vote for Hillary Clinton, when James Comey came out and said that he is reopening an investigation in her 1 week before election, I was like, oh my God.
It was Trump was wrong from way before Comey.
He was
wrong from the very beginning.
But
he was the wrong choice. He had a whole life of history of craziness.
But a lot of people didn't know that.
I'm a grab women by their short.
And a lot of people did not know that. They voted for him anyway simply because
they knew it.
They don't know him like they know him now.
They knew. You know why? Because he's had a flamboyant personality.
Remember,
and he's
the lesser
pimped
of two
himself,
evils.
He's pimped himself out on everybody's TV for decades.
He did not
start this just a couple years ago. He had the failure at the Trump Towers. He had the bankruptcies.
But most people don't.
He had the wives.
But most people didn't know that. They just
dirty, rotten, messed up.
He sold the country on a bill of goods and some racism. And like I said, there were so many components. And then you had the Senate, the bipartisan report that came out from the Senate on Thursday. Or was it Friday that said that there is proof and evidence that he did collude with Russia and they named all the people involved.
Oh, everybody knew that.
They knew it, but now that he's in office, there are a lot of people. You got John McCain's wife who spoke. These people, their opinions carry a whole lot of weight.
Well, I'm telling you, his prior baggage should clearly, if you clearly have been enough.
Well, remember,
if you have known somebody as long as Trump has been on everybody's TVs, name on all the, try to be on all the buildings. He had the casinos,
but
Trump
most people,
Towers,
but,
not
but
just
he
hotel,
was able,
but the
yes,
casinos.
You're right.
And
but
the,
he was able to still sell
90s.
Himself as a businessman. And that's the thing that
and
people looked at.
And that's how it worked. He did a brainwashing.
But now most of those people know it was all a lie. Because look at the country. Except for the stock market, everything else is in shambles.
They went three monkeys. They hear no evil, see no evil.
And he manipulates the stock market at least once a week.
Well, that's to his own game.
Exactly.
And you know, so I mean, you know, that's I'm talking about the fact that the bamboozle. He's been bamboozling for so long that, you know, his reputation and record is clear. When he was married to his first wife, and he was flamboyant.
And
how you think he got in all those photos with all those rich people?
Mm-hmm.
All them have gone to jail, or I'm not talking about his administration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about all these, like Jeffrey Epstein and all them.
His life. All that is coming to light now with the weight of the office of the presidency.
It's been a lie.
And now we're going to see that in all these ads leading up to the election. Before it was easier for him to pull this off because with the help of the Republicans, with Benghazi and Peyton Hillary Clinton and then Comey.
He hasn't
and then
hidden
the Russias.
He is not hidden it. This is what you must be clear on. He has not hidden it. Okay.
I'm not saying he didn't hide it.
He had another target. The reason why I'm telling you that
is
because he mentioned he wanted to run for president and rule everything years before he actually ran.
Mm-hmm.
So that thought and being the Almighty.
I don't think he meant that.
It's been in his head forever.
He didn't even mean to be president. It happened. He's the first person probably that ran that didn't really want to be president that ended up president.
Oh, he wants to be.
He regrets.
Don't get this twisted.
He regrets being president
Why? The fleecing of America. He's been able to line his pockets, kids' pockets.
That's him
his son-in-law's
that's
pockets.
That's him learning what he's been able to do as president. I can do that. Okay.
He already knew that was going to be the case. He already knew.
I don't think so.
Are you kidding?
Because if he
did not know, he wouldn't have come in the door and violated all kinds of norms.
He didn't know he was going to win. Remember, James Comey said that. James Comey said that in his report that the main reason that he discovered that, in other words, if Trump had not have won the presidency, he would have gotten away with almost everything that he was able to do with the help of Russia and all the other things. He was trying to build the Trump Tower in Russia, and running on the platform of a pro-Russian
was his way.
Yeah,
right. So that ain't all.
So where's the Trump Tower? You see what I'm saying? No Trump Tower.
Wants to be the king of the world, honey. Okay,
with all that in his background,
I
don't see it,
because folks will go hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Wednesday afternoon at 4. News from the community followed by the traffic report. At 4:30, hear from Dr. Michael Greger on his new book, How to Survive a Pandemic. Then in the 5 o'clock hour, news from the community. And Dr. Eddie Glaude is back. He discusses racism in America through the lens of James Baldwin in his new book, Begin Again. Dr. Glaude is a distinguished professor at Princeton University and an author.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Good morning. It is a little overcast a little bit, but the some sun is out and the blue skies and the humidity has been down, although I do think I feel a creep up of the humidity over the last 24 to maybe 36 hours. So didn't that seem just a little tick warmer?
It was foggy. Yeah, it was. But and it was very foggy this morning.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Where you came in at?
Yeah.
Because I didn't see
it. Started to dissipate a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
Did it rain? I think it sort of rained a little bit yesterday.
That's yeah. all it's done, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying we've had a lot. So the lawn
the
companies,
grass.
The lawn companies, they're working in overdrive right now, adding to their economy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have chances for rain today. As a matter of fact, 30%. And, I say 88 is pretty warm.
That's, 88.1.
Yes, of course. Of course. That goes without saying. That's the Jazzy 88 forecast. that's your Jazz Station forecast. That means that it is going to be more humid today.
Mm-hmm.
So people can keep that in mind as they go about their day. But we do have a dense fog advisory, though, that is going to be in effect until 8 o'clock. Are you passing over water or the Tennessee River or anything?
No. Uh-uh.
Really?
Yeah.
And you saw fog?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Low line.
But our Cumberland River still cuts, cuts through there, but I go the opposite way on 24. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because that river snakes everywhere.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And that's a sure sign that you're going to experience fog.
Yeah. They should do more with that river. They could probably, you know, can you ride that from city to city?
That was proposed at one time.
Wow, that could have been, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, on some of these, the little boat trips and stuff
mm-hmm,
that we used to have on the Cumberland, they only went so far. But I went on one time, and can't remember where I got on at. And it went almost to Clarksville.
Okay.
And it was just different views.
How
you know?
Far? How far does that stretch throughout the state?
A long way. Because it goes across so many counties and everything.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah.
And a lot of counties heavily depend on that water supply and the resources from it. They heavily depend on that. And that goes back in the Tennessee history with the Native Americans and stuff, that river has been quite a source of strength and help for them. And, you know, really if you think about it back to I always have to go Old Testament. That was why, I mean, I can't help it, you know. The older you get, the more you
look
like,
at the world
okay,
and
that
go,
makes
yeah,
sense.
Yep, it sure does.
And then that's what made people migrate toward the Nile River, saying, because of the water. And people love the water, and they migrate toward it. But it can flood.
don't we know?
Right. It can definitely flood, you know. And but a lot of people on this one particular route, because it was two different of those boats that you get on either downtown or at the Opryland. And one time I went on one that went in the opposite direction. So the view is different, you know, because I was like, I done seen this view a dozen times. and I liked the different view. And I liked the different views, rather, and to go further. And because you got to rent that boat by hour, so you can go course so far. But it would be nice if that was, you know, part of. And then they have the water taxi from downtown to the Opryland Hotel, or they did, so people can be at the hotel and then come down here.
I just figured that'd be an option for, you know, traffic. People could, you know, get on a boat and just catch the boat to and from.
Yeah, they could.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, it could happen. You know, the mayor's plan.
Yeah.
Is
just have your docking stations.
Although his plan is buses. You know, everything is buses. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. And I wish they put some domes over them things so people.
Yeah, inclement weather.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Because that would definitely hamper. it would help, you know, the people that are out there on them using the transit. So we'll have to see what Mayor Cooper unveils in his plan. He has had a plate full. He has, but you know, he asked for it.
See, he should. He ran.
He just that, but you know, when you on the outside. Because remember when he was in the council, and you on the outside looking in, if I was there, I'd be blasé, blah. And then life happens.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's funny how that turns out. And then it's all the responsibilities on you, and then everybody's mad at you because you didn't fix it. So, I'm sure. Many and one is calling on Jesus, fix it, Lord.
He's thinking of those old days when he was
on the council, and he could raise holy, you know what? Yeah. So I don't know, but I'm almost certain that this has been more than a notion, and so is any other elected position, because there is a lot at stake out here. And at stake right now is my news, so let me get to some of it and see what's going on in these headlines. I'm going to start right here in Nashville. Tennessee protesters will face harsher penalties, including losing the right to vote, for breaking certain laws during demonstrations under a new law enacted by Governor Bill Lee. The Republican quietly signed off on the bill Thursday. Quietly. Lee has previously conceded there were portions of the bill he would have done differently, but ultimately agreed to sign it. Most notably, the law says those who illegally camp on state property would face a Class E felony punishable by up to 6 years in prison rather than a misdemeanor. The American Civil Liberties Union had asked Lee to vote the legislation, saying it attacks free speech rights. And to that, the groups protested yesterday. I mean, you know, it wasn't going to be long before that brought them back out. And it was Teens for Equality that were back on the scene as a result of that legislation that passed and signed. He might have signed it quietly. But
that's a shame.
They didn't deal with it quietly.
That's a shame.
These activist groups hosted a rally yesterday to protest that newly signed law I just mentioned that makes overnight camping on state property a felony.
That's a shame.
That goes on your record. And you can't vote.
Then you can't vote.
Right? You can't. Right? You can't get a job. Yeah. I mean, that's low down.
That is just a shame. That's poor leadership.
No,
that's
a plot.
It is, okay? But it's just why are they in office? Just, you know, that's ridiculous.
Let me finish this. The legislation was in response to a group of marathon protesters who camped out in front of the Capitol for longer than 2 months and weakens the First Amendment right to protest. The protests began at the Bicentennial Mall, where organizers with Teens for Equality led the group to the Capitol. marching through the streets of downtown. And I did notice in there on the clips they had on, looked like almost everybody had masks on.
Yeah.
And there seemed to be some spacing in there as well. The march ended on the very same steps, declared the Ida B. Wells Plaza by members of the People's Plaza, who camped out there for 61 days this summer. The People's Plaza also helped organize yesterday's event. So, you know, by signing this, if they thought that it was going to make people go away, wrong answer.
Yeah.
It made them come back. So
that's the same. Why not meet with them and sit down and try to work something out?
What did I tell you about that? That man is not going to do that.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Because to his party, it's going to seem weak.
It's weak to sit down with your constituents and try to figure out a way forward where everybody can work something out.
They don't care about constituents.
Why is he in office?
Those people probably didn't vote for him anyway.
Of course. But Osprey, he's not governor of all of Tennessee.
No, of course
just the
not.
People who
didn't
voted
you
for
know
him.
That? Oh, I mean, that's how that works.
You know what? I just realized
that's how that works.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Duh. You think Senator Black Baron is?
Yeah, no, she's just governor. She's just representative of the people who voted for her in her district.
Right, or gotcha. Donated to her. Campaign.
Okay, gotcha. That's
other than that, she don't care about you.
Okay.
You're tripping.
Wow. Anyway,
the governor also, while we're speaking of him, he announced $61 million in emergency broadband grants through the state's share of federal coronavirus stimulus money. On Friday, the Republicans' office said the State Department of Economic and Community Development has selected 62 projects. So 62 will probably get about $1 million apiece at 61 million. The projects are limited to areas lacking equipment needed to provide broadband that can support telemedicine, distance learning, and telecommuting rather. The state denied another $28 million in projects due to the project feasibility, applicant experience, public comments received from existing broadband providers, or other factors. So $28 million more dollars did not get allocated. Unfunded projects can apply through the Tennessee Broadband Accessibility Project Program, which has $15 million this year and gives applicants significantly more time to complete the projects. And hopefully that does aid in some way some of these problems that have resulted since the pandemic in terms of technology. You know, it was long been said by many that it's going to be some of the haves and have-nots. And in saying that, schools across the United States are facing shortages and long delays in getting laptops and other equipment needed for online learning. They are this year, most crucial back-to-school accessories. Of course they are, because we've built the society like that. Part of the reason is high demand and disruptions of supply chains that have jammed production of laptops and Chromebooks made by Dell, HP, Lenovo, and other brands. Schools say another critical reason is the Trump administration's recent sanctions on Chinese companies that has exacerbated massive backlogs. It's those dreaded tariffs, them sanctions. Oh. Educators nationwide worry that computer shortfalls will compound inequities. They also warn of headaches for students, families, and teachers. And I knew it wasn't going to be perfect. And, you know, so, okay, can we trust Dell, HP, and Lenovo? any other brands, not to gouge.
Price gouge.
Right, gouge when the, you know, oh my God, we can double charge for this.
Of course not. It's government
money.
Surely,
does that matter to anyone?
When it's government money, jack up the price and get rich.
Well, of course.
That's the American way, right?
They wanted to sell a hammer 30 years ago for $50. And the taxpayers were like appalled.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just hoping that they don't, because it's got to flow downhill somewhere.
Of course they will.
And it's got to flow.
That's where those stimulus checks are going.
You know.
Whenever it gets passed again.
Okay. They have a shortage. And, you know, they clearly knew that the Trump administration's sanctions was going to have an impact on everything. People been telling them that mm-hmm. ever since he started that. But we have to suffer the consequences.
There it is.
So it is what it is, y'all.
How those farmers
so
voted for
just remember that when you go to the polls, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
On the next Jazz Night in America, I sit down with vocalist Gregory Porter for a chat about his philosophy as a singer, songwriter, and performer.
The personal is universal. My small story can be extrapolated to the larger group.
Plus, music from Gregory and his band live from the St. Lucia Jazz Festival. That's on the next Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411? Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And when we experience frustrations in daily life, many of us hold ourselves to blame. Self-criticism is often our default setting, but we can have a more gracious posture toward ourselves. We can practice disciples of self-kindness. Oh, that sounds good. We could, can we? Next hour, my guest will be discussing that and other issues involving that topic. She is editor and spiritual director, Cindy Bunch, at InterVarsity Press. She also has written a Bible study series. So I'm looking forward to chatting with her next hour. The book that is up for discussion will be Kind to Yourself, Releasing Frustrations and Embracing Joy. Be kind to yourself, and then what goes around comes around. Then somebody might be kind, you know, if they come in contact with you and you're not ready to tear their head off. But surely y'all wouldn't do that now, would you?
Of course not.
You know, I'm glad no one can see my face when I say some things, because it's like you don't need to see it, especially this morning. Anyway. Okay, here's what's going on up until that time. The mother, now out of Louisiana, the mother of a man shot to death by police in Louisiana, says her son was intelligent, shy, and had sought therapy for social anxiety. Her attorneys tell The Advocate that they are investigating and plan to sue over the death of 31-year-old Trayford Pellerin. State police officers in Lafayette were called to a convenience store about a disturbance involving a man with a knife. Investigators say he left and the officers followed, shooting when he tried to enter another convenience store. Still with the knife, Pellerin's death prompted a crowd of protesters to gather yesterday and demonstrate against the latest fatal police shootings. So clearly, it continues, and this will undoubtedly be in the headlines for days and days as the protests, and you watch the video, and he sure did get shot a bunch of times with all those officers, and he was heading toward a different place getting away. So we'll have to watch that one very, very carefully, because it's going to be one of the leading headlines for quite some time. And speaking of leading headlines, the House has approved legislation that would reverse recent changes in U.S. Postal Service operations. Can you just hit the applause on that one, please? Thank you, House.
You're welcome.
So that's just half of the battle.
Yeah. Now we need Mitch McConnell.
Or a third of the battle.
Yeah.
The measure would also send $25 billion in emergency funds to shore up the agency ahead of November's presidential election. Passage was 257 to 150, and it came after much heated debate. President Trump had urged a no vote, calling concerns over mail delivery a hoax. That's his favorite word.
Yeah, hoax.
Everything's a hoax. 175,000 people are dead in this country, and it's a hoax. So what are they going to do, come back to life? I mean, what is he talking about? And the White House says he will veto a bill if it passes the GOP-led Senate. More than two dozen Republicans broke with the president, and they backed the legislation.
That's what I was shocked about.
Oh, glory. Can you give them a round of applause, please?
Yeah, most definitely.
Because they broke. Okay. They broke with the insanity.
I don't believe he'll veto it if Mitch McConnell brought it up and it passed in the Senate.
Mitch is not gonna. Yeah,
he's not gonna because he's scared.
No, he's not
so,
gonna.
DNC, you should be running some ads in Kentucky right now. Run those ads.
I'm sure they probably have been.
Run those ads.
For quite some time.
Because I'm not a gambling man anymore, but I bet he wouldn't veto that bill. Bet he wouldn't do it. He'd stand out there. He needs something to rail on and say that it's not right and it's not this and it's
he's
not
got
that.
To bring it before his group.
Yeah.
And that's where he stops everything at the door.
Yeah, he needs something to, I'm talking about Trump, he needs something to rail at. And if the bill is sitting on his desk to strengthen.
It's not going to get there.
Exactly.
It will be paralyzed in a wheelchair before it gets there. Okay,
so,
the bill is not.
So is this
there.
A game of chicken? Because something's got to get passed. They got to do something because you can't have the president railing against voting by mail. And then here's a bill sitting
it,
on.
And then doing it himself.
And then you got a bill sitting there on your desk, Mitch McConnell, that you refuse to bring to a vote and then bring to the president. I mean, so the two of those things at some point have to come ahead.
I watched the hearings with the U.S. Postmaster.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, I'm.
Did your blood boil?
No, I was like classic.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I watched about as much as I could take. Because, you know, it's the same. Because
you see the games.
The dog and pony,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
Here comes the dog, there go the pony. I mean, it's like, la, 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 la. What was that comedian's name that used to say, la, 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 la? years ago. Remember him? You know who I'm talking about, right?
Jim Carrey?
No, he's a black comedian. And he used to be on the comedy shows, the black comedy show. What was that?
Dave Chappelle?
No. He's not famous, but he should have been.
Okay.
Because he would say, all they do is lie, 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 lie.
I'm not sure who,
And it's little stuff like that, you know. I can't remember sometime where I lay my glasses, but I stuff like that. Yes, I can. I keep them in the container so I can keep up with them.
Yeah.
But the postmaster, here's the thing about this cat that does not make any sense to me.
Like why he has the job in the first place?
Well, you know, that's step one, okay? He was selected for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
But he allegedly has a business background. Hush, X. Mm-hmm. I know you're about to roll.
No, go ahead.
He basically is supposed to have all this background in how to operate a business. Now, you're going to take out the machine, with an S, that makes the distribution of packaging. Oh, he had a delivery service company. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So packaging and things of that nature, it should be like blinking an eye to him. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first thing you're going to do in your first couple weeks, dismantle the machine designed to get it out quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want it to go out quick because you're in the delivery business. Does that make any sense? No.
None.
I'm like, and you're supposed to be so smart. So, you know, most companies are trying to increase productivity and not say.
We're cutting back because of cost.
I mean, just it's like, huh? So what kind of businessman is this cat? When the taxpayers bought those machines, and we're happy with them. So it's not like he paid for them out of his pocket. We're happy with them. They help the workers. They get the job done, delivered rain, sleet, or snow, or ice, or whatever. It's delivery time. After the tornado, I still got mail. After the snowstorm a couple years ago, I got mail. Now, they might have had to slide into the thing, but I got mail when it was in.
Even when this tornado hit down the street.
We got mail.
I saw the mailman. Yeah. I was like, wow, you still? He was like, yep.
They on the case, Jack. Yeah. And, you know, when my mama used to mail me my birthday card every year with that $10 bill in it. I mean, you know, she used to, I look forward to getting that because it was from my mama and she picked it out and signed it and put something special in there to tell me and my 10, and I was happy. And, you know, she would do the same for the grandkids and send them until there got to be so many of them and send them do the same. I mean, that kind of stuff you cherish, particularly when a loved one is no longer here, okay?
Yep.
And, you know, just different things that the mail is sentimental to people. So I'm saying with this, what, the Republicans don't get mail? I mean, what's, you know,
it's been
backfiring. I'm like, what?
This is the situation. thus the Republicans who voted for that bill on yesterday is speaks back and claps back, as they say, to Senator Jim Jordan, who stood up there and grandstanded.
As usual.
In his face.
As usual.
And then the Postmaster General, who will be appearing before the House Committee on tomorrow. But it's a rebuke of all that because it didn't work the way they thought it was going to work.
Well, but see, long as the president is continuing to be in everybody's ear, telling you every single thing that he doesn't want is a hoax. He's supposed to be such an articulate businessman. Yeah. Well, guess what? He knows beans from bones. Now, he's okay to run his own stuff.
It's a disaster.
Right. You can run your own stuff directly off the cliff and into the ground.
Isn't that what Kamala Harris said about him?
Don't do that to our country.
Didn't Kamala Harris say that in her speech?
She may have. I mean, yeah. Ray Charles from the grave can say that because it's obvious. I told you about the history of this man at the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. He goes back decades of taking OPM, other people's money.
And just running it in the ground.
And playing with it because he didn't have to earn it.
That's why they want to see those tax returns. Because how can...
And what is it he's blocking the most? The tax returns.
Yeah. So who was paying for his lavish lifestyle? How was he able to
support everybody else but him? Yeah. OPM. Other people's money. It's never his. If it was his, it would make a difference. But long as he can swindle and cheat.
And you didn't even get around to those tapes that was breaking news last night about what his sister said.
Oh, yes, I did. I ain't got time.
Oh, I'm just saying, yeah.
See, I got so many things next year.
Yeah, there's so many.
And then when we get off the track, I'm like, I can't get to that. I can't get to that. But there's so many other things besides that, you know, that are, you know, we need to add quick comments and keep it moving because I can't get to it.
You need two hours of open phone.
In the Trump era,
you need 2 hours of open phone.
You need all day long, 24/7, because this stuff, that man don't go to bed, okay? It's a hoax. He's going to bed, it's a hoax.
He's up tweeting right now, I'm sure.
Oh, Ben up. He's on Eastern time. It's a hoax, honey. It's a hoax. His tweets are hoax. Here's the thing that just sustains me and has sustained me since day one before he became the leader of this nation, back when he was cutting everybody up on the stage and talking about them like dogs, his own people, and they still love him. Something wrong with y'all. I still have stuck in my head to keep my sanity, number one. But number two, to know that God sees it, knows it, and he's in control. And the day is coming when he's bringing all that stuff to a screeching halt. You know, the rubber gonna hit the road on more stuff than people have any idea, because God been he knows what you're gonna do before you do it. If he understands and knows the hairs on your head before you born, I mean, come on, y'all. You think you can be slick and get off the plan? It's God's plan. It's not Trump's plan. He wasn't there the day the cornerstone of the earth was laid. He wasn't even in anybody's mind then. What was the barometric pressure that day? Oh, it was a hoax.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that sustaining power. You know, God just, he has his infinite wisdom and knows when he's going to bring the house of cards to an end and exactly what it's going to take for that to happen. And it's going to, because you can't do evil forever. And you just cannot. I'm sorry. And those that think you can, good luck on that one. Good luck on that one. So that's, you know, that is, people have long asked me over the years on just talking to me that have been just insane with this thing of how this man just carries on and rails on. What keeps me from losing
sane,
my mind?
Yeah.
From totally going, and that's it. Knowing, you know, what you put out, you're going to get back. That's the law of reciprocity. That's the way it goes, honey. You throw garbage out, guess what? It's coming back. You throw lies out, they're coming back. You throw low downness out, it is coming back. If you throw love out, it'll come back. If you throw peace out, that'll come back. If you throw back kindness, oh my word, it will come back. What goes around comes around. It always does and always will. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with with Sharon Kay.